Tarlehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End Podcast Extra in association with The Working and Paper. My name is Ollie Allen, Assistant Editor at the Tarlehurst End, and your new host for this spin-off show. You may have heard my voice before with interviews such as Kevin Doyle, Jason Roberts, and Joby Mackinoff, and now I've taken the reins of the Podcast Extra following William's departure. And I am delighted to be joined by the Working in Papers, Tom Crocker. Tom, hi, how are you?
Hi, Ollie, how are you? Hopefully a new duo can transform some things on the pitch for Reading as well.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Hopefully if we can kickstart things here, then maybe lads can get stuff going on the pitch as well.
Hopefully.
So since you and Dan last spoke, I think it's been about a month before the Norwich game that you two last spoke for the final time. So then Reading lost that game 2-1 in front of the Sky cameras. Then we had the international break. Mo Barrow's late goal at Leeds ended the winless run and got all our spirits up. And then we were brought back down to earth with a bang last weekend at Sheffield United with a 2-1 defeat. Those three results leave Reading 20th in the Championship table, just 2 points clear of the relegation zone, which is certainly not a position anyone sort of expected us to be in at this stage of the season. It's also the club's worst start to a league campaign in 21st century. What have you made of the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's obviously it's been sort of up and down. We went into the international break on another downer, really. I felt they played better against Norwich than they had done in recent weeks, actually. Got a first-half goal, finally, and it was more encouraging, despite the result, than some of the home games. Then, obviously, you have a long two-week break, and everyone, I think, was a bit worried going into that trip to Leeds. I'm not sure too many fancied much up there, and then, as happened last season, really, whenever you sort of write Reading off and Stam off, they seem to come and dig out a result, and that was a brilliant win up at Leeds. You got the last-minute penalty save, and you think maybe it's all turning, and then it's all more of the same again at Sheffield United, back to another difficult away day, and it was always going to be a tricky game, but I don't think the performance really sounds like it did. It wasn't really up to scratch, and then it's questions again, and it's now a massive week coming up, and yeah, like you say, the worst start in the 21st century, I think you said, and that's obviously not something you want on your record, and results are really hard to come by at the moment, and it's just all a bit of a struggle again after that Leeds game. At the moment, doesn't look like the norm, really. It looks like a bit of an anomaly, and they need to start getting a run together, which has proven really, really difficult.
Yeah, so you mentioned the Leeds game there, and I think he changed tactics. So I think a lot of people were surprised to see him sort of go to the. I mean, there were lots of people calling for it. Obviously, his normal possession style of football wasn't really working. He went for a 4-4-2 at Ellen Road, and didn't have as much focus on the possession and passing sort of style of play, and got the victory, and had Gunter at left back and Bakuna at right back. And then back at Sheffield United last weekend, he sort of reverted to type. And we went on to lose that game. And do you know why have you got anything as to why he sort of went back to his old ways and didn't sort of learn from a system that worked at Leeds?
Yeah, I think everyone was a bit surprised to see him go for 4-4-2. It's not something he's really done before. I mean, he's been willing to change his style a little bit. I think if you think back to the playoffs as a key example, where he sort of at Fulham just played the pragmatic approach and tried to get the result, when it felt very much, when you look at it now, like that Leeds game as a one-off where they had to get a result, and he's changed style for it and now tried to go back a little bit to it at Sheffield United. He very much changes depending on the opposition, I think, week on week, and he obviously felt that going to Sheffield United they could try and keep the ball a bit more, and it's just injuries haven't helped as well. That's something to mention. Obviously they lost two of the guys that started at Leeds, and you're not too sure if they would have started again, so he brought Tyler Blackett back in and moved Leandro further up the pitch. And yeah, I think everyone that's the biggest sort of question mark, really, that when you do so well in one game, when you then change it in the next game, questions are going to be asked if you don't win. But I think Stam still very much sees it as that's his philosophy, and he felt that for that one-off game at Leeds it could work, but going forward he still wants to try and play his style of football, and that's something that I don't think you're going to be able to change from him. That's what he's come in to do, and that's what he wants to do. He had so much success last year, and I can't see him going away from that permanently. I think it was just more of a case of a one-off for that Leeds game.
Yeah, I think that's what some people find a little bit frustrating. I think the fact that it did work so well at Ellen Road, and that he's sort of been a little bit stubborn and gone back to his ways at Sheffield United. And it's massively split the fan base in a way. I think looking on Twitter and on social media, it's really a half and half split about whether fans want Stam in. Obviously, we've spent a lot in the summer. Results realistically haven't really been good enough, and we're near the bottom of the league. But then on the other hand, you could almost say the success of last season, obviously performing way above expectations and reaching the playoff final, has sort of earned him a bit more time, and obviously with the likes of Jan Kermgren and John Swift coming back in, might help him a little bit. Where do you sort of stand on the whole Stam in, Stam out debate, and are there any whispers around the club about whether he's only got a couple of games left, or are they willing to give him time to turn this around?
No, all the noises of it is very much they're all behind him, and he's in regular contact with the new owners, and they're all very happy with, well, not happy with the results obviously, but happy with what he's trying to do and the whole vision around the club. But yeah, like, I think the playoff final, if he'd come in, if this had been his first season, I think it wouldn't have been too many eyebrows raised, really. It's just obviously last season naturally raises the expectations, and despite the number of times Stan tries to play them down, it's obvious that this isn't good enough compared to how they were last year, and they've spent money, like you say, and they should be a lot higher up on the table than they are. And it's a few, I think if you go through all the games, there's a few little moments and games that haven't gone for them, really, have cost them a lot of points. And if you turn a couple of those games around, suddenly they're up in mid-table and it doesn't look too bad. But yeah, I think the expectations have to be there. I don't think it's right to sort of say Reading shouldn't be challenging, because I think they should with the squad they've got and the money they spent. But also because of what he did last year, I think Stam is due a bit of time and a bit of leeway to try and turn it around. And I know some fans will get a bit impatient with it, and I think this is a really big week, actually. It's two home games and attendances haven't been great, and I think these two games now are going to be key for Stam to try and win some fans back again. And as I sort of said, we're down on here every week. It seems to be one or two wins, and it can suddenly flip all around. It's still relatively early in the season. If you get a couple of wins, it will look a lot brighter. But yeah, at the moment, it's not good enough. I don't think anyone can deny that, really.
Do you think the playoffs or a top six finish is sort of a still realistic aim? I know a lot of people have brought up the 2011-12 season when we also started very poorly and obviously then went on to win the league. Do you think that's still a realistic ambition, or do you think it's maybe settling for mid-table now?
Yeah, I think Reading are notoriously, they sort of finish well, and I think it is still so early. I'm just looking at getting the table up now, actually. Was it 10 points off the playoffs with the game in hand? So it's not like that's not a crazy thing to try and think you can close that gap. Obviously, you win these two games this week and suddenly it will look a lot brighter. I think Aston Villa were right down there at the start, and now they're in the playoffs after a good run. So that's the thing about the Championship. You win a few games, and everyone said Steve Bruce is about to get sacked when they lost to Reading, and suddenly now they're sort of fourth or fifth in the league. And that's the thing about it. I mean, I don't think you can write off the playoffs yet. And realistically, no, you have to say they have to start picking up points soon, because you can't let that gap get too big. Otherwise, it just becomes so difficult to try and turn around. I mean, I don't think they'll be looking over their shoulders or anything below. I think it's more a case of trying to push on up the league. The team is good enough to do that. They just need to get in a rhythm, which they haven't got into yet this season. That's the biggest worry. I think whenever you get a good result, it seems to just fall back again. It's one step back and one forwards, and that's not the way to start really climbing up the league. It's just a struggle at the moment, really. But yeah, I don't think it's off the cards yet, the playoffs. They just need to get on a bit of a run.
Yeah, you mentioned that game in hand. I think that's against Barnsley, who are also not doing too well. So that could be an opportunity. And as you say, things can change really, really quickly in football. One of the key issues that Stam has is at the moment is sort of the lack of goals. I think only Birmingham, Burton, and Bolton have scored. I think we've got 11, and only those three teams have scored less than that. There's been a couple of calls from fans sort of wanting to see Sam Smith, the academy graduate, come into the team. Do you think that could work? And more importantly, is that something that you think Stam could look into next couple of games?
He's sort of played it down, really, that he's not quite ready, and I don't think you can really say otherwise. And I think the main reason for those calls is simply the fact that there isn't anyone else. I think rather than because Sam Smith was here last year and didn't really get a look in, so to suddenly bring him in as first choice would be bold. I mean, he played in the League Cup games and did okay, I think. So I saw him in a couple of pre-season games as well, and he looked lively, and he's come on and scored his goal, of course, in the League Cup, and a couple of sniffs here and there in the league. But to come in and start a Championship game, I think is a big ask. And for a youngster, I think you've got to be a bit careful not to throw him in too soon. I mean, obviously it worked for Liam Kelly last year, but there's so many other cases where you throw him in too soon, it doesn't work, and they fall away and end up leaving the club. So I think Stam's got to manage that one quite carefully. I don't think he plans to throw him in too soon. You look at it this weekend and you go, there's no, obviously Bodvarsson and Kermit get another two, but whether either of them, they're not likely to be starting, so that leaves a bit of a hole again. But I think he's more likely to stick with some of his attacking midfielders and try and work a solution that way rather than throwing Smith in, and then if you need a goal, throw him on. I think that's the biggest thing that you can look at it, that he's not really throwing him on early enough to try and make an impact when you do need a goal rather than starting him. I think that could be something that you might try to do, throw him on sort of 20 minutes to go and just another body up front to try and offer something different rather than leaving him on the bench completely or rather than starting him. I don't think he's ready to start, but to come off the bench, I don't see why not. I'm sure he'll try anything to try and get some goals in the team. That's the biggest problem, like you say.
Yeah, I think that was sort of the main frustration last week. I think Southworth was on the bench at Sheffield United, and when we were 2-0 down or 1-0 down, I think Stan brought on McShane for Blackett, which sort of didn't make much sense. And Stan and Smith's just sort of sitting on the bench thinking, what have I got to do to get a chance here? There's another attacking player, Adrian Popper. He's also on the fringes of the first team. He started the season quite well. I mean, he started in the starting 11 towards the beginning of the season because of a lot of injuries. But he's sort of faded out a little bit in recent weeks. There's been a rumour linking him this week. I think it was from his home country of Romania, linking him with a potential move to Panathinaikos. This isn't sort of, I've seen a couple of these rumours over the last couple of months linking Popper away from the club. Do you think, is there any truth in these rumours, or do you think it's sort of agent talk to try and maybe get Stan to play him more in order to keep him?
He's an interesting case, Popper. I mean, he came in, I think, last January and didn't play too much to start with, and sort of in and out the side, and you can sort of say maybe that's him sort of bedding in. And he had a really good pre-season actually, and like you say, started this season relatively well, and then as soon as players are back fit again, he's faded away from the side. So I think you can say there's no smoke without fire. Maybe I think if there's been a lot of rumours about him not being too happy with his position, obviously from the club, then Stan's not saying that he said he doesn't want to lose, he's not thinking about letting him go or anything now. But if it gets to January and he's still not in the squad, then he's an international player, so he's going to want to play football. And it's something that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, if Sam's not going to pick him, then what's the point of him being around, really, just to be an occasional squad player? I think he's a bit too good for that, really. He hasn't shown it consistently in the first team, but then again, he hasn't really been given a consistent run. He was brilliant for the 23s on Monday night. I think you got three assists there, so
three assists, yeah.
There's not a lot more you can do than that. And Stam's often said when players go down to that 23s team, they've got to show why they should be playing. And if he's getting three assists, he's got to be given a chance in the team, and especially in a team which aren't scoring many goals. I mean, when you look around, and that's what you've got so many attacking options for. You've got to give these guys a chance. And yeah, I think Popper's looked decent when he's played at times, and maybe he's due another go. I'm trying to think now. I think it was Villa that he played and forced an own goal from someone. He looked really good in that game, and that was probably Reading's best home game of the season. So it's not like he hasn't ever done anything in the first team. So I think there's every chance that he could be brought in at some stage. But when he gets that chance, he's going to have to take it, or Stam's going to favour the other guys again.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and you mentioned the lack of goals, I think a key reason for that is obviously the loss of Jan Kernigan, who's obviously been out since the summer. Had a hip and groin surgery, I believe. There's been sort of whispers about whether he's returning there was a whisper before the Sheffield United game about whether he might play for that, but he wasn't in the squad for that one. But potentially, could Jan return to the squad for Middlesbrough tomorrow?
He's been a sort of a couple of weeks away from fitness for a long time now, it seems. We asked Stan, he's always a couple of weeks away, and like you say, before that Sheffield United one, he said he's sort of back in training now, so it's just a case of when they want to bring him in. I think Jan himself wants to get in and play straight away. I think he wanted to get in and play when he was still injured, to be honest. But they've obviously, Stan wants to be really patient with him. And the ideal situation would be Reading are winning and Bodfast and scoring loads of goals, and you can just see Jan back in. But as it is now, they need results pretty quickly. So you don't want to rush him, given his age and how long he's been out. But I think they're going to have to need him at least on the bench at some point very, very soon, either tomorrow or Tuesday night is probably more realistic. I think Stam's played down a little bit whether he'll be involved tomorrow. I don't think he'll start the game, but if he was on the bench for one of the next two, I wouldn't be surprised, just because they need results in those two games and they don't really have any other strikers. So yeah, I think he is back to fitness now, back in training. It's just the case of he hasn't played for so long. That's what's playing on Stan's mind a little bit, I think, not to rush him back and then lose him for another few months, which would effectively end his season, really.
Yeah, which other injured players, do you think we could see perhaps return tomorrow? likes of McShane that's been mentioned?
Yeah, I think it's pretty similar to last week, I think. I think John Swift and McShane both came on at Sheffield United and they're both back, and I would expect them to both start tomorrow. That'd be a big boost. And therefore, all the other guys, I think, are still missing, really. Obviously, Bodvarsson's still out, McCleary as well, I think, and obviously the longer-term ones, Abita and Mendes and Harriet, are all still away and not going to be back anytime soon. So I think it's pretty much the same as last week, but I'd expect Swift to definitely come in and start. I think they need something a little bit different in that midfield against the Middlesbrough team that are quite compact at the back, and they need something to try and pick those locks with that Middlesbrough defence. So I think Swift will come in and start, and it'll be a big game for him. And so apart from that, it's the same squad as last week, and it's whether Stam tinkers with it again, which he tends to do. So it's anyone's guess who exactly is going to start the game, but I think it's a pretty similar squad to last week.
Yeah, so looking ahead to that game, and I think both sides come into the game sort of with relatively poor runs of form. Obviously, Borough relegated from the Premier League last season. I think the chairman, Steve Gibson, said that they'd smashed the league back in the summer or something along those lines, which hasn't gone quite to plan so far. Gary Monk, the manager, obviously, judge of Leeds last season, had a bit of a row with Jaap Stam following the game at Elland Road. But they currently sit 13th in the Championship, and they've not won in any of their last five games, so actually a slightly worse run than Reading as well. They also played in the League Cup in midweek. I believe, were you down in Bournemouth to see them lose 3-1 to?
Yes, yeah, I was at that game. They made sort of a few changes, but like I say, they set up quite compact defensively, and I imagine they'll do something similar. Obviously, Bournemouth are a better side than Reading, but a similar sort of style, so I'd imagine they'd set up similar, and they were really quick out on the break, and I imagine that'll be their sort of plan, especially for an away game, to try and sit in deep, and that's the sort of game that Reading face a lot at home, so it's something that they'll be very used to. That's why I say it's a big game for the likes of Swift or Kelly, if he's brought back in, to try and find a way through, or Shawny Aluko maybe, to try and get some assists on board and some more assists like he has been doing. And yeah, they defend pretty well, and they got some really pacey players on the break, and they got Premier League class players still, really. And one thing, they did look particularly vulnerable from set pieces, so that could be something which Stam might try and look to exploit. I mean, they let in a goal, and another one was disallowed, and they conceded a penalty from a pullback from a corner as well, so they look really dodgy there, so that could be something to look at, hopefully. And yeah, it's going to be a tough game, as it always is at home, to break these teams down. I don't think Middlesbrough can come and fly at Reading particularly, but they're going to be particularly dangerous on the break. They've got Adama Traore, who's always, he did cause problems on his day in the Premiership, so yeah. I imagine he will do the same to Reading as well. And yeah, they've got good players. It's also, I suppose it shows the strength of the Championship. They're not even in the top half either, and they're a team that's just come down and kept quite a lot of their players. So yeah, they got a strong side. Monk's a good manager, but he's going to need results soon as well, because they've brought him in, and they've got high expectations. Like you said, the comment about smashing the league isn't quite going to plan, but yeah, a team that comes down like Middlesbrough, they're going to want to go straight back up, so they need results just as much as Reading do, really, which makes it for an interesting game tomorrow.
Yeah, so certainly on paper, it's certainly one of the best squads in the division. They spent big money on Britt Stombolonga and Martin Braithwaite in the summer. They've got a lot of championship experience, the likes of Ben Gibson, Cyrus Kishti and Johnny Howson. Of course, Lewis Baker, who of course Reading were potentially looking at in the summer, and Middlesbrough beat them to it. Combined with the sort of the bad run of form and the fact that Reading have had a little bit more time to prepare for this game, would you say this is sort of, perhaps it's quite a good time to play what looks like one of the strongest sides in the division?
Yeah, obviously that's something you see after the game. But yeah, that's a fair point, I think. I think going to Leeds, a sort of similar thing was said then. They were on a poor run. Is it a good time to go and play them? Obviously, it looks like now it's a good time to play Villa earlier on in the season as well. So maybe it is a good time to play Middlesbrough. They're struggling for wins. And like I say, they, with an away game, they may well be happy to try and set up and see what they can nick on the break rather than come into it full of confidence. And I think that's what Reading need, really. They need something, they need a team that are also lacking on confidence a little bit, and maybe that's the way they can just try and nick a win, any sort of win, and go for it that way. They've obviously got, they're in the middle of a tricky run of fixtures, really, and this one and the Tuesday night one are two home games, and they're games that they need to pick up points from, because I think it's Derby and then Wolves after that, so it's not getting any easier. So yeah, it could be a good time to play them. We'll have to obviously wait and see, but yeah, I think you say one of the strongest squads in the Championship, so if they can get a result, that'll be a real confidence booster as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So all of that considered, Tom, what are you going to go in for in the prediction league this week? I believe I've not got the exact points, but I think you predicted 2-1 Sheffield United 2-1
yeah.
last week. You've got that spot on. So you're now joint top of the leaderboard with Johnny and Wim. So what are you going to go for to try and keep your winning streak going?
Yeah, I think I've been bottom of that league for most of the season. So no one's doing particularly great. We're all being a bit optimistic.
Yeah.
That's why I flipped it around. But yeah, like I say, I don't think it's going to be particularly exciting. I can see it being a draw. I got one of the draws right earlier this season, so I'm going to go 1-1 again. And Reading don't tend to draw many games, but I think this one could prove to be a bit of a stalemate, so I'm going to go 1-1.
Yeah, I'm unfortunately not part of that prediction league, but I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw as well. So then on Tuesday we've got Nottingham Forest at home, another home game at Adam Desi Stadium. But I will leave those on the main show to get into that one. I suspect you'll want to see how tomorrow pans out before giving a prediction for that game.
Yeah, I mean, right now sitting here, I think they'll probably win it, but we'll see how tomorrow goes, and I think they've got to win it. Otherwise, it could be a depressing show for us next week.
Yeah. So speaking of the main show, you'll probably notice Mark Mayo has taken over the hosting duties for the last two shows. I think in general it's going to be a rotating panel. I think Mark is in hot seat again next week with Steve Curtis, Royal Hoops, and Chris Hartley as well, I think, is joining Mark next week. As for this show, I hope to be back next week speaking with Tom to look ahead to the trip to Derby and hopefully looking back on one, possibly two wins against Middlesbrough or against Nottingham Forest. Hopefully you've enjoyed this first podcast extra with me. Tom, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. What can we expect from the working in paper in the next couple of days?
Yes, it's obviously all eyes on tomorrow, really. We've got all the coverage from the game tomorrow and then again on Tuesday. So it's wokenham.today online or on my Twitter, Tom J. Crocker. It will be on there.
Brilliant stuff. And of course, stay tuned to the tyleston.com for all the pre-match and post-match news analysis as well. Also check out the Twitter. It's just at the tyleston. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/thetylehurstend, sorry. And we also have a YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/thetylehurstend. So that's all wrapped up. Tom, as I said, it's been a pleasure. And all I have to say is, come on, you Ars.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at thetylehurstend
and facebook.com/thetylehurstend.